We'll call the Business, Industry, and Jobs Committee to order. Couple of announcements. We do have to be on the floor, I'm told, by 11 o'clock, and I guess there's no, for some reason, no deviation from that announcement. If we can get to the two bills, we'll try to get there. If not, that's all right, because we don't plan on acting. We've got ongoing discussions going with House members, certainly our group here, and we met with the governor's staff also, so we're going to try to formulate some kind of legislation, I guess, before we, but it won't be done. It won't be done today. So, Mr. Bastian, thank you for coming to Minnesota. You heard all of this morning. I watched part of the tape over there in the House, but we are certainly concerned, as you know, and these are real folks, they're real jobs, and some cases we've got friends that work for this airlines, and it's not just a job, it's a career for these folks, and we're deeply concerned, and so we do want to hear from you, and I think we'll add that. I think that'll be just, we're technically short one or two members for a quorum, but we could get started. But like I said, we have to be out here at 11. We want to hear from Delta, and, of course, we want to hear from the Airports Commission, and there's a lot of employees here, but we've heard from them the other day, and we might hear from you again, okay? But I don't think today, because we're just too cramped. So, Mr. Bastian, welcome to Minnesota, and you may proceed. I know you have, I believe you have a prepared statement. So
I do, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Chair. And members of the committee, I want to thank you for providing me the opportunity to address a topic that's critical to the future of every employee and customer of Delta Airlines, as well as Northwest Airlines, is a topic that I recognize is also of the utmost importance to your state. My name is Ed Bastian. I'm the president of Delta Airlines. I also serve as the company's chief financial officer as well. Last month, we announced the merger of Delta and Northwest, a transaction that will create America's premier global airline and that will preserve significant jobs and service around the country, and importantly here in Minnesota. This transaction comes at a unique and important time in the history of the airline industry. The question facing both Delta and Northwest is whether we'll have companies with the global network and financial stability to compete in an increasingly global marketplace, and whether we can withstand the skyrocketing cost of jet fuel to preserve jobs, increase competition, and improve service for the millions of employees and customers who depend on our two airlines every single day. As you well know, our ability to remain strong financially and compete internationally is severely impacted by the unprecedented rise in the price of oil. Continued prices of up to $120 per barrel of crude oil is resulting in the bankruptcy of carriers across this country and robbing even those that are most financially secure current profitability. In the last few weeks, we've seen six carriers in our country go into bankruptcy directly as a result of fuel prices, with five of them shutting down completely, liquidation, and they're not coming back. This is different than when both Northwest and Delta Airlines went into bankruptcy. We had the opportunity to reorganize. The credit markets were there for us. This time, with the price of oil, it's not going to happen again. During the first quarter, the 10 largest U.S. airlines lost more than $1.6 billion combined. That compares to a profit of $74 million in the first quarter of last year, with a swing being driven by nearly $3.5 billion in increased fuel cost. And we've seen the impact of bankruptcies and airline employees and customers over the last 6 years. Since 2001, U.S. network carriers have shed more than 150,000 jobs and lost more than $29 billion. That's why Delta and Northwest are coming together now to create a financially stronger airline with a broad and diversified global route network that will help us weather the impact of fuel prices, withstand increasing pressure from foreign competition, and importantly, preserve jobs and service for our employees and our communities. Let me start with the benefits for employees, since I know this is a critical issue for your state. First, let me assure you that the hub at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport will remain a full and vibrant hub after the merger. Minneapolis, much like its sister hub at Detroit, benefits from its excellent geographic location and its preeminent position as the home to dozens of Fortune 1000 companies. For airline planners, this means both Minneapolis and Detroit are positioned for even more new routes and service as Delta and Northwest combine. For instance, neither Minneapolis-St. Paul nor Detroit customers currently have nonstop access to South America, Africa, or the Middle East. All those routes are served by Delta out of its hubs, both in New York and Atlanta, and they currently only have limited nonstop access to Europe. By leveraging the strength of Delta's network, the Delta-Northwest merger will make it possible to consider new nonstop flights to all of these regions from Northwest hubs, creating the potential for even more service and jobs and the substantial economic benefit that accompanies each new route. The Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport also benefits from its cost structure, which is now competitive with cost at other Delta and Northwest hubs, such as Detroit. As our planning goes forward, we'll make definitive decisions about potential new flights and routes, and it's critical that the operating cost per enplaned passenger at Minneapolis remain as low or lower than in Detroit, a factor that has allowed Minnesota to grow here with Northwest in recent years. Beyond the hub at Minneapolis-St. Paul, Delta also intends to maintain significant facilities here to support our worldwide operations, including various management functions, which represent good-paying jobs remaining at the headquarters location in Eagan. As to the worldwide headquarters, Delta will be based in Atlanta. But the fact that Delta and Northwest will become the world's largest airline serving nearly 400 destinations on six continents means that there will be plenty of opportunity for national, regional, and international employment centers in Atlanta, Minneapolis, and elsewhere. As we're just beginning our integration planning, the exact list of facilities and corporate functions that will be located in Minnesota is not yet final, but we hope to have these details resolved over the coming months. All of us at Delta are extremely confident in our ability to work with our Northwest colleagues and bring together these two storied companies in a way that respects each company's roots. Northwest is the airline that pioneered the Great Circle Route in 1947. Delta is the airline that became the world's largest carrier across the Atlantic in the 1990s, have complementary strengths and global ambitions that we believe will ease integration. Delta is proud of the uniquely cooperative relationship we have with our employees. And in planning this merger, the impact on employees of both Delta and Northwest was uppermost in our minds. For years, Delta has been known as an airline that works collaboratively with its employees to offer wage and benefits that are better than competitors, to avoid frontline furloughs, even when other airlines are furloughing and failing, to achieve fair and equitable seniority integration in the midst of complex mergers and acquisitions, and is a company that consistently engenders support from our employees. Delta Airlines has never had a strike in its history, its 80-year history, never once has had a strike caused by its employees. Delta, after all, is the company whose employees, through payroll deduction, purchased a multi-million dollar Boeing 767 aircraft, an international wide-body aircraft, and gave it to the company as a gesture of gratitude after Delta management refused to lay off workers during the economic downturn in the early 1980s. Delta is the company who became known for completing one of the most seamless and positive mergers in this airline in airline history during the acquisition of Western Airlines in 1987. And Delta is the company that for a generation enjoyed the highest service ratings of any airline in the industry, thanks to the loyalty and spirit of our employees. The opportunity ahead of us now is to welcome our Northwest brethren in a way that embraces Northwest traditions. The management of Delta has long believed that companies, employees that fail to work together are at great risk of failure itself, and that treating the employees of both Delta and Northwest with dignity, respect, and fairness is a guiding principle in this merger. Out of the gate, we've announced significant benefits for the employees of both companies resulting from the merger. We'll set aside sufficient equity, stock in the new company, so that all employees have an unprecedented equity stake in the merged company. We'll move all employees over time up to industry standard pay and benefits. Today, they're not paid in accordance with industry standard at either Delta and Northwest. That we need to fix that, and we will fix that by 2010. We will honor our commitment to all U.S.-based frontline employees to provide a process for the integration of seniority in a fair and equitable manner. We'll maintain the existing pension plans for both companies, both for the current employees and for those that are already retired. We'll maintain our top-tier profit-sharing plan and operational rewards program. These are plans that paid out over $300 million in the last year for both companies' employees. We have assured our frontline employee that there will not be any involuntary furloughs as a consequence of the merger, and particularly important in the view of the impact on our industry of record fuel prices and economic uncertainty, will strengthen our airline financially and provide opportunities for our people to benefit from our planned growth and future success. It's these types of commitments that demonstrate Delta's passion for treating employees fairly, which has been reinforced through years of actions that have consistently put employees first. With respect to whether there will be union representation in the various crafts or classes of employees after the merger of Delta and Northwest, we have pledged to respect our employees' preferences on that issue. Federal law, as administered by the National Mediation Board, provides a time-tested democratic process for determining employee choice regarding representation following an airline merger. We, of course, will respect that process and those choices. In the meantime, we have provided written commitment to honor the existing Northwest collective bargaining agreements consistent with applicable law until any post-merger representation issues are resolved by the employees. Regarding seniority protection for the frontline employees of Delta and Northwest, Delta took the initiative last year when our board adopted a policy to provide a process for fair and equitable seniority integration for employees of both companies in any merger. We carried these principles through our negotiations with Northwest and have provisions in our merger agreement that provide for fair and equitable seniority protection for all. I'd like to address another issue that I know is very important to this committee and our customers, and that's service to small communities. Both Delta and Northwest have a proud history of serving small communities. Northwest has often been the only way for people in small towns in Minnesota and throughout the upper Midwest to connect with the rest of the country and the world. Similarly, Delta was founded in Monroe, Louisiana, and for years its focus was serving small southern communities. We know and understand the importance of air service to the economic health of these communities. The phenomenal growth of Atlanta and the Southeast in general is directly related to the superior service that we offer through Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta. And we know there is a very similar affinity that exists here today between Minneapolis and Northwest. We intend to continue with these traditions and remain the airline providing the most service to small communities from strategically located hubs in Atlanta, Minneapolis, Detroit, New York, Memphis, Cincinnati, and Salt Lake. This is not just about customer service. It's good business sense. We have committed publicly that we will not close any hub as a result of the merger. And to keep these hubs profitable, we need traffic from the small communities around the country. A robust hub system is critical to the service desired by small communities. It's the most effective tool to serve these communities as it uses smaller aircraft to bring passengers from many small communities to the hub and offer broad connecting opportunities for these passengers. The combined Delta and Northwest will serve over 140 small communities, nearly twice the number served by our next closest competitor. The merged airline will offer the potential for new service to nearly 3,000 domestic origin and destination markets and over 6,000 international markets. As the economies of the world become linked more closely, we recognize the importance of air travel to the ability of small communities to compete and thrive in a world economy. Since Delta and Northwest have focused their attention on different regions, there are few overlap routes, and customers will gain the benefits of a larger combined network without any material reduction in service. However, providing service to any city, whether small or large, must make economic sense, and the high cost of fuel for either Delta or Northwest is far more likely to result in reduction or elimination of service than this merger will. No discussion about the current state of the airline industry would be complete without mentioning the devastating impact of the unprecedented rise in the price of oil. Every day we read that the price of oil has hit new records. Over the last 5 years, we've experienced a 28% annualized increase in oil prices. And in the last 12 months alone, the price of a barrel has more than doubled. Most analysts do not foresee the price of a barrel falling below $100 anytime soon. What is less widely publicized, however, is the equally dramatic rise in the cost of jet fuel that's extracted from the crude oil. Since 2001, the cost of a gallon of jet fuel has increased over 500% and nearly doubled just since December of 2006. The airline industry is somewhat unique. When we go to the pump and we fill our cars up with gas, there's little choice. We fill our cars. In the airline industry, however, we're lucky if we can recover through fare increases even 50% of the fuel price increases. Those costs do need to be made up somewhere else. Despite becoming more fuel efficient and obtaining more productivity from our employees and operations, Delta and Northwest today have two of the lowest cost structures of the mainline carriers, and that impact is dramatic. In 2003, fuel costs consumed 17 cents of every dollar of our revenue. In 2008, that number will be 43 cents. 43 cents of each dollar of revenue is going to pay for the cost of fuel alone. Every dollar increase in the price of a barrel of oil costs Delta about $80 million. So going from $120 a barrel in the price of oil will cost us about $1.5 billion this year. As a result, there are fewer dollars left to improve passenger amenities, acquire new aircraft, and provide better compensation and benefits to our employees. Something has to change. We need to find a new model. The employees in this industry have sacrificed time and time again. The dramatic rise in fuel cost has resulted in much of the cost savings our employees have generated through productivity and benefits being used to pay for fuel rather than to improve the product. In effect, it's eroded most of the sacrifices that have already they've made to make their company viable and sustainable in the future. We are determined not to repeat this cycle. We're determined not to subsidize our business out of our employees' paychecks. Merging Delta and Northwest will create a much more financially stable company with approximately $7 billion in liquidity and over $1 billion in annual synergies. The combined airline will be able to withstand an increase in fuel price better than either airline standing alone and maintain profitability. This financial strength and flexibility will provide additional resources to help weather the unprecedented fuel environment and will create a more resilient business with improved job stability and growth for our employees. I've already touched on some of the key benefits our customers can expect by significantly expanding the number of domestic and foreign locations that will be available. There will be other benefits, such as a common frequent flyer program that will provide opportunity to earn miles, more schedule options, more efficient routing for connecting passengers as we optimize our combined hubs. Of equal importance, the financial stability the combined carrier will have allows for us to reinvest in our product and our service. We announced, for example, upon the announcement of the deal, our intent to exercise options for up to 20 new wide-body international jets between 2010 and 2013 to upgrade our fleet for international flying. Those are aircraft we could not afford as standalone carriers that the merged company can afford. And that's opportunity for employees, that's opportunity for customers, that's opportunity for the state. We are all mindful, however, of the difficulties in combining complex operations of two airlines and that other airline mergers have encountered problems that have inconvenienced customers. Delta and Northwest are committed to making this merger seamless and trouble-free. Both Delta and Northwest are members of the SkyTeam Alliance today and are used to working cooperatively. Our frequent flyer programs, our customer lounges, and our technology systems have already been partially integrated. In addition, we'll be able to build on the decades-long partnership that exists between Northwest and KLM, which, as you know, is now part of Air France, and the long-standing relationship that Delta has with Air France. All of these factors were important decision points to make certain that the integration process for our customers go as smoothly as possible. In closing, I'd like to acknowledge the support we've received from people across the country, including here in Minnesota. Members of the Minneapolis-St. Paul and Minnesota Chambers of Commerce said it best in a recent editorial in the Star Tribune when they wrote, "It's impossible for proud Minnesotans not like us not to have mixed emotions about the merger announcement between Northwest and Delta Airlines. Northwest is as much a part of the state as our lakes, our winters, and our hockey. Even so, Minnesota businesses recognize that this merger is an economic necessity for both airlines in an era of unprecedented pressures for market oil prices, economic distress, and competition. For our economic evolution and success to continue, we must be able to reach the world, and the world must be able to reach us reliably and at a competitive price. We believe this merger increases our chances of being able to do that well into the future. That is our intent, to build a strong, durable airline that provides good jobs, wages, service, and benefits for the hardworking people of Minnesota. Neither Delta nor Northwest are standing still in the face of the enormous challenges that we're facing in our businesses. That's what makes us industry innovators and leaders. We'll continue to be a strong corporate citizen of your state, and we'll work hard to do our best to make Minnesota proud. Thank you for this opportunity. I look forward to working with you in the future and keeping you apprised as our merger transaction proceeds. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hurst. It's good to see you here again today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Let me, it's no disrespect or anything, but we're in the last few days of the session, and a number of our people are in conference committee, so that's why they're getting up and leaving once in a while.
Appreciate that.
Apologize for that. Senator Michelle, did you have a, take some questions at this time? Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Bastian, for coming up. We hope to see a lot of you going forward.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Bastian, can you help the committee understand the timeline going forward? If we are to assume this merger is going to happen, and that's a decision beyond the Minnesota State Senate, can you give us a sense of the timeline? When will we know some significant decisions about Minnesota employment levels, service, et cetera? The general drumbeat in the newspaper is that you'll have a federal decision on this merger by the end of calendar 2008. So I recognize some of this might be speculation on your part, but my question is, when will Minnesota know?
Well, we're currently going through the regulatory review process with the Department of Justice, and hearings, as you know, are being held in Washington, both at the Senate and the House levels. Our expectation is it will take somewhere between 6 and 8 months for the regulatory review process to run its course and to reach a final decision, which would put us towards the end of this year. With respect to your question of how it impacts Minnesota and jobs, we have committed as an airline, as a combined airline, that we will not involuntarily furlough or cause any loss of jobs of any frontline employee. That means any employee that's involved in the actual operation of the airline in terms of providing customer service, whether it be pilots, whether it be flight attendants, whether it be in the airports, maintenance, et cetera, reservations. And I'm not trying to be all-encompassing, but any employee in a frontline capacity. We are early in the process in terms of identifying what corporate activities would be combined and where they would be best combined. We have made a decision that the corporate headquarters will be in Atlanta. That said, our goal is to find the best and the brightest and the strong skilled workers that exist here and work together with a strong skilled employee base in Atlanta and find the right location for that work to be done. Without question, some of that work will be done here in Minnesota. It will be a strong strong presence here. Without question, some of that work is going to be done in Atlanta. The determination of where the jobs will be located is a bit premature, though. We're early in the process.
Mr. Chair, one follow-up.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Bastian. And then you mentioned in your testimony how we've had some difficult examples of prior mergers. Mergers that haven't worked. Mergers that have been a nightmare, frankly. I'm assuming you guys are going to learn from that and help us today at least understand why this merger makes sense, how you're going to learn from those previous experiences.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Absolutely. The reason it took us, between 4 and 5 months to actually put the transaction together, despite the media speculation that was running rampant over the course of this year, we've been working very, very hard to make certain it really is the right deal and that we do all the work we need on the front end to make certain that we don't repeat some of the failures of other carriers that have gone before us. Some of the reasons why mergers and other in this industry have not worked, first of all, many times it's a result of they've been mergers of necessity. They've been airlines that have been, frankly, almost close to the doors of liquidation. America TWA is a perfect example of that. TWA had been through bankruptcy 3 times, and it was on the verge of liquidation. It was a broken airline, which caused problems for both American as well as TWA. U.S. Airways is another example of that. That company was on the verge of liquidation. America West was in trouble. We wanted to move now while we're strong, while we've got the financial muscle. $7 billion of liquidity will allow us the capital we need to do this right, to put the systems in place, to put the capital in place, to make certain it doesn't come at the expense of our customers or our employees. We've also taken the unprecedented step of bringing our employees in on the front end of the process. We've worked for the last several months very closely with the pilot groups on both sides, both Delta and Northwest. Our goal was to try to reach a combined collective bargaining agreement and integration list of seniority before we announced the deal. We were unable to do that. We were unsuccessful. But we did reach agreement with the Delta pilots, and we're optimistic that we'll be able to reach a similar deal with the Northwest pilots by the end of the year before the transaction actually closes. And we're going to do the same thing with the other employee groups. We're going to do everything we can to keep them uppermost in our minds, to make certain that the integration issues that have plagued other carriers don't plague us.
Thank you.
Senator Bonnef, Thomasonian, Scheib.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bastian, we do very much appreciate that you're here today. And the people in our community are very concerned, as you can imagine. And so I just have a couple questions, not so much about the merger, but how this might affect just the everyday citizen of Minneapolis and St. Paul and the surrounding areas. With regard to nonstops, you've talked about the addition of the international nonstops. Do you expect that people will have less nonstops coming from Minneapolis, that we will see more connections in the various hubs to get to the places that Northwest now goes nonstop? That's one question. I have a second follow-up.
Sebastian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, yes, we do see the opportunity for improved connectivity as we bring the hubs and the strength together. You know, one clear example of that is that Northwest just recently launched service to Paris out of this airport here at Minneapolis-St. Paul. That service would not have been possible were it not for the existing alliance and support of Delta and Air France today that makes that route viable to the future. And I think there will be other opportunities, you know, connecting South America, for example, connecting other parts of Europe with the Minneapolis-St. Paul region. The other issue that we have to wrestle with is that if we don't do this deal, if we stand on our own two feet as two separate companies, will we be able to afford, in the face of these oil pressures, the current service we have? And I think we're at much greater risk of losing the service we have caused by fuel prices and trying to withstand that issue on a standalone basis than we have by putting our two companies together and fighting hard to avoid that issue.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Bessemer, with regard to nonstops on a domestic basis, are we going to lose our nonstop routes here?
Mr. Chair, I'll take that question. No, we're not going to be losing nonstop routes. So we've committed to maintain the hub, maintain it in a vibrant sense, in a fulsome sense. The issues that we will face are due to the price of fuel in the combined entity. And if routes are uneconomic, driven by the cost of fuel, whether a merger happens or a merger doesn't happen, that service will probably be reduced somewhat. This gives us a greater opportunity because we're pulling the strength of the two companies together. We're generating about $1 billion of synergies between the two companies, which are cost efficiencies and revenue efficiencies that neither company would have on its own merits that can allow us to retain service as compared to lose service.
Mr. Chair, last question is, with regard to the hubs, you've said that you do intend to keep Minneapolis-St. Paul is a hub, and I just get concerned because we have Detroit, Minneapolis, Memphis, and then Delta has Cincinnati, and so that seems like a lot of hubs to keep viable, and so I'm hopeful that that is the case, but for example, is Cincinnati going to continue to be a hub for Delta?
Bastian.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Yes, absolutely it is. We have roots in these communities and these hub structures that date back 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And we have strong bases of employees. We have strong base of corporate customers, strong base of customers in general. And the route structure, if you were to design an airline from start today, would you put the hubs in those geographic locations? Maybe not as close to one another. But the reality is the investments have already been made. The customers exist. The employees exist. We're not going to spend money on doing that. We're going to take advantage. This is a merger of addition, not subtraction. You may all be familiar. Last year, we went over at Delta. We had a takeover attempt of our company by U.S. Airways. And I can personally relate to the questions you're asking since I was in the leadership of the company that thwarted that takeover attempt. And so I was on the other side looking at what would have happened, and that was a merger of just what you're talking about. It was a merger of subtraction, where you actually went in and eliminated jobs, eliminated service. And we fought hard, because that's not a way to get a deal that can incent everybody to work together. You can't get your employees excited. You can't get your community excited. You can't get your customers excited when you're taking things away from people. We realize what we have to do to make this work, and it's to invest in our people, not to take away from our people.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Bastian, for appearing in front of the committee. I think what you said, you said some really good things, I think, as far as workers are concerned in regards to respecting workers' rights and the jobs they have and keeping as many people on as you possibly can. And I think I heard you say you're going to respect the union's right to organize. And I know Senator Michelle was asking you about the 1,100 jobs in Eagan, and I understand you don't exactly know what might happen there, which we're all concerned about. And so I know we're on the beginnings of what this all is going to look like, and there's a lot of evolving to go on. And I also heard you talk about rural service, but I didn't hear you say the word Chisholm.
You better say it.
And so I know Mr. Anderson has talked about the Chisholm Reservation Center and no plans to do anything to that. And I know Mr. Hurst, it was actually Mr. Hurst's idea to open the Reservation Center, so I just need to hear something about Chisholm now.
Mr. Bastian.
It's our intent to retain the Reservation Center in Chisholm, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Senator
Is everything else I said accurate about unions and
we will respect the employee's voice in the process, absolutely.
Does that mean you'll respect their right to organize if they decide to?
They decide to, yes.
Senator Scheid.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bastian, thank you for being here. And I was looking at the agreement, the merger agreement and the plan, and I'm not sure I find exactly where there's specific reference to obligations of Northwest, particularly as it relates to the covenant with the state of Minnesota. I assume that's a consideration. Could you,
You talk about the covenants?
Yes,
the
I am.
Three,
yeah.
I know you visited earlier this morning about those. Maybe you want to go through the three.
I'm not being argumentative. I just want to know.
That's
you
fine.
You knew about them when you
yes.
came to the table. And so
we've heard about the headquarters already, but
yes.
Right,
okay.
I understand.
Our responsibility will be to step into the obligations of Northwest Airlines, absolutely. Any liability or any commitment that Northwest Airlines had previously made as the two companies merge. The merger agreement does not go through specify every single obligation of Northwest Airlines across the globe, but Delta will be stepping into and assuming those responsibilities. Yes, with respect to the headquarters location, that has been decided. It will be Atlanta. So to that extent, that does give us the opportunity to have discussions with the state, with the governor's office. We look forward to that. They have not begun yet. I don't want to use this forum as a means to start a negotiation. But we're looking forward to having that conversation. We look forward to including and keeping you apprised as we make progress on that issue.
You mentioned the governor's office. There is a legislative branch, too, so we want to stay in the loop, too, okay?
Absolutely.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Bastian, on that particular issue, are you aware that this is in statute? The covenant keeping the headquarters here is in statute, that would require a payoff of the outstanding bonding requirement. And from what I understand, because it's in statute, there would have to be legislative action to change anything there. So if this was, if the decision was that the headquarters would be moving, it would immediately obligate you to pay off at least the $245 million worth of outstanding bonds. From what I understand, other obligations have different impacts. But according to our particular counsel, they've said that this breach would immediately require paying that back. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Bastian.
Our intent is to enter discussions. We would like to retain the bond financing, of course. We have $7 billion of liquidity. If we were required to pay it off, we would pay it off. We could pay it off. I don't believe that necessarily is in anyone's best interest at this point. So we're looking forward to discussing with the state and the governor's office how to serve the important issues which relate to jobs, service to this community. The majority of the jobs in this community certainly are of the airport nature, and we've already said that they will all stay in service. We're focused on the intent of the provisions.
And keep in mind, if the bonds are paid off, that's not, this is kind of elementary, but it's not a asset to us as a state. The bondholders get paid, so there has been some misconception that we could use the money for housing or build more roads or something, but that's not the case. So it's not, and in my opinion, in a $7 billion liquidity situation, 240 is a lot of money, but it's not that much money, if that makes sense, in the big picture in life. So I don't believe we have a huge hammer on that one, but we continue on, and that's why we're meeting. But that's just my opinion. That
absolutely,
if you want to get paid off tomorrow morning, I'm sure they could write a check and get that out of the way. So,
Mr. Chair, follow up,
Senator Carlson.
And you're absolutely correct. That is that is a debt. That's not.
Yeah.
That's not any type of advantage for us. You mentioned one of the primary reasons for this is high fuel costs, and I guess I'm wondering can you explain a little bit how you're going to save with fuel, just in your own words and in your own intentions? Because from what we know around here, that when an aircraft comes into Minneapolis-St. Paul, that there's practically a pipeline to the wellhead, because we have Flint Hills Resources, and there's a pipeline from Flint Hills to the airport. And do you expect to find other advantages somewhere else for fuel, or do you plan on actually exploiting this particular place for fuel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, no, this merger will do nothing to reduce the price of fuel. That's absolutely clear. What this merger will do, though, is will give the two companies the combined financial strength to fight in a very competitive industry together and pool its resources together and avoid the fate that we're seeing a number of other carriers experience, which is going back into bankruptcy, or most of them now are going through liquidations. Pooling our resources together to fight against the issue will give us the best chance to be a survivor. Because there are casualties in this industry, and there's going to be more casualties at these oil levels on an accelerated basis going forward. We don't want to go down that path. We want to make certain that we're a survivor, and that if others do fail, we'll be in position to take their customers on Delta Northwest rather than cede them to another part of the market. The second part of the answer is that this company does the merger will have synergies available to it, which is a strange term, but what it means is that there will be cost efficiencies from working together in terms of reducing administrative cost, better scale with respect to managing your vendor relationships, better opportunities to streamline processes together rather than two companies having to replicate every process individually, as well as revenue synergies as the two companies come together and can share routes and offer new service and new profits to the combined entity. Neither the revenue nor the cost synergies would be available, which is over $1 billion a year, to the individual entities that will exist through the combined company, and that will certainly do us a fair bit with respect to helping to pay for the cost of fuel.
Okay. Senator Carlson, do you have another?
Yes, I do. Now, overseas routes are owned. They're an asset, isn't that correct? And does, let's say, do Delta and Northwest have any overlaps in those overseas routes? Are there intentions to liquidate any of those? And can they be moved, for instance, the overseas routes that Northwest has from Minneapolis-St. Paul to Asia, can they be relocated to another origin in the U.S.
There are no international overlaps. So if the question is, are there going to be redundancies internationally? No, it's one of the reasons this merger makes a lot of sense. It's complementary. Delta is very strong in Europe. Northwest is very strong in Asia. And combined, we're going to truly create the first global airline this country has seen. With respect to the ability to move the bilateral authorities that Northwest has, I defer to Mr. Hurst.
Mr. Chair, if I could take a crack at that, Senator Carlson. Thank you, sir. Northwest's operating authority to Japan and then and beyond Japan is the strongest authority that any U.S. carrier has. It's replicated only by United. And it allows Northwest to operate to any point in Japan from any point in the United States, and it places no frequency limitations on those operations. So there will be no impact on that I would anticipate on Northwest service to Japan and Asia resulting from the merger.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We've got, I think, about 4 minutes left. I think it's obvious we're not going to get to MAC today and to the bill, Senator Carlson, and certainly there's more discussion.
Mr. Chair, I have one more question.
That is needed, Senator Carlson.
I have lots of questions, but this is one more important one here. What's the impact of the Open Skies Initiative around the world on this merger?
Senator, I mentioned in my prepared remarks global competition is coming at us fast and furious, and Open Skies is driving a significant amount of that competition. Carriers internationally, particularly in Europe, have already consolidated. Air France and KLM, for example, have consolidated. Lufthansa has consolidated. They're coming with a strong currency, with the euro, and they now, with Open Skies, have the ability to fly from any point in Europe to any point in the U.S. Previously, they were not able to do that. They could just originate out of their home country. So in this era of global competition, we need to have a strong global competitor in response to the European flag carriers. And we believe this merger will provide just that. Today, we do not have carriers of equal caliber and equal financial footing as the Europeans. And as a result, what you're seeing is the majority of the growth that's being experienced on the international plane is increasingly coming from foreign flag carriers, whether they be in Asia, whether they be in Europe, or South America. This country needs to have a strong global airline, and we believe this is the airline that's going to serve that purpose.
Mr. Chair, I'll hold the rest of my questions.
Can't hold for too long because we only have a couple of minutes to go. So, any further questions of? I think we're going to probably just break at this point. We want to again welcome you to Minnesota and thank you. And always gets back to one issue: jobs. Our four or five entities that are union organized, and at the end of the day, what's going to happen there? So that's mechanics and flight attendants and others that are organized here and probably not organized somewhere else. So that's ongoing discussion. So any, Senator Carlson?
No, Mr. Chair, if you don't have any other questions, I do have one that does relate to what you just said, and that is the maintenance and repair. Is there any plans to do any, or is there any thought? Obviously, we can't, no plans at this point, but thought to reducing maintenance and repair locally or increasing maintenance and repair locally?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, we've said that there will be no reductions of any frontline employees, and that would be include maintenance workers as well as any maintenance work that's done currently by Northwest employees will stay with Northwest employees. And frankly, what we have found at Delta is that we've been able to expand beyond the boundaries of just doing work for Delta, but doing work for many carriers, and we have a very large insourcing business. We're bringing jobs and we're bringing opportunities into Delta, and we would expect to be able to do the same thing here at Northwest.
Thank you.
Okay, what we're going to do is we won't adjourn. We're going to recess the committee and then try to figure out if we can, it's such a huge issue that we want to obviously keep the discussion open. So I don't know if that's later today, tomorrow, or when, but I think that's the plan at this point. We do have to hear from MAC, obviously, and then the authors of the bills, and then
I'm inclined to get the unions back up too a little bit, but that's we'll talk about that. Okay, with that, the meeting is in recess, and thank you very much
for coming. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I look forward to keeping you apprised as we proceed.
Thank you.